Good afternoon. We're back at it on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village studio. Our friend Bill is finishing up his California vacation, sent some photos out of Big Sur that are awesome. There are other great shots on his Facebook page. So, Bill, hope you're having a great time, and welcome home. It is Friday, August 29th. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill. Several of us did that this week. Tom Fairbanks is producing and engineering the show just a few feet away. Good to see you, Tom. And is the rumor true? Yeah, put your ears on. Is the rumor true that you this is your last day?
Yes, it is, I'm afraid.
Now, did they chase you out, or is this you going willingly?
No, I'm being dragged over to Dallas, Fort Worth by my son and my daughter.
Very good. Leaving for family is a good reason, and I will miss you. You have been terrific and have certainly calmed the nerves when I've been sitting in this seat. I appreciate it. On Fridays, Bill says thank you to the Buckmaster Show media partners. Those include TucsonSentinel.com. That's our friend Dylan Smith, who's the publisher and editor over there. Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, and Tucson Spotlight. You're going to find those and some others on his website, BuckmasterShow.com. You can also find an archive of all of Bill's shows there also. So our Friday Focus interview today is with author Carew Papritz. He is from Down My Way. Hello, Carew. Great to have you.
Great to be on the show.
Good. Also joining us is his son, Cutter Papritz, who is going to provide that younger perspective that we so often lack. But I always wonder, is it worth it?
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here.
He is actually excited to be here. He just doesn't really sound like it. But welcome to you, too, Cutter. And he is a student up at NAU. And you passing everything? It's been a week.
Yeah, in one whole week, and so far we're doing okay.
Well, you know, and this is your second year up at NAU, but really it's your third year of college because you're one of those people who graduated from high school with an awful lot of college credits.
Yeah, that's correct. I wanted to get it done as fast as I could.
Okay, so it'll be 3 years at NAU, and then what happens?
It'll be 3 years at NAU, and then it'll be 4 years in med school.
Med school. Okay, mom's a dentist, but you're not doing that.
Oh, I couldn't do that. Looking at people's mouths all day. No way.
Okay, where's the mute button? Okay, so what's the plan then? What's the plan?
Finish up NAU with my bachelor's in biomedical sciences, and then hopefully go to U of A med school program, and then residency and hopefully do anesthesia.
Okay, very good. That's a great plan. You have a question or comment anytime during the show, call us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. So, Carew, I enjoy talking to you, and a few years ago you published a book that I think is one of the most important books I've read on relationships called The Legacy Letters, and I wanted to introduce or reintroduce people to that book and the impact it has had since it was published. So pretend you're talking to a whole new audience here. Tell us about The Legacy Letters.
Sounds good, Dan. Yeah. It's the background to this is somewhat interesting in that I wrote it in my early 30s. And as I like to say, if you're going to have a midlife crisis, have it early in life. I came out of the film industry and sort of went on a what I call a driveabout, ended up driving around the West. And I wanted to end up someplace that was not the film world. And I actually ended up south of Patagonia, and I went back to my roots. My granddad had a small ranch when I was growing up, and I came back to cowboying, a very desolate ranch, as most of the ranches in this area are desolate. And I started writing this book, and I've written several books before that point. And this book came out of nowhere, and I started writing it, and it essentially, it's a series of letters written by a father who had never lived to see his kids. And these letters become their practical, moral, and spiritual guidebook for them. And some of the titles for that the letters that he wrote are, for example, The Everything and Nothing of Money, or Birthing and Raising Kids, mm-hmm. or Your Old Man's Declaration of What's Important in Life, or Your Pappy's Love of Books and All Appearances of the Mother Tongue. So just everything from practical to spiritual and everything in between. So ended up bringing this book out, and fortunately and wonderfully, the book's won a number of national awards. And more importantly, I was just trying to think about the things that have affected me in this. And one time I was at a book signing, and this was a fascinating story. And there was a gal and her son who were passing by, and I said, "Oh, please come on over, talk to me," because most people are afraid of this scary author. And I said, "Look, I'm gonna do something I've never done before. I'm gonna guarantee this book." And he said, "Well, how can you guarantee a book?" And I said, "I will guarantee that if you pick up this book, you'll read the first page, and you'll turn to the second page, and it'll be great." So I said, "And you too." The kid was on his cell phone, and I said, "Yeah, I want you to read it too." So sure enough, pick up the book, 1, 2, 3 pages, and the gal goes, "I'll buy 2 books." And I said, "Oh, seriously?" She goes, "Yeah." Mm-hmm. She goes over to the cashier, comes back. I turned to the boy and I said to him, I said, "Hey, I got to interrupt you," because he was still reading. I says, "What gives?" He said, I gotta tell you that I don't have a father, and I wish the guy in this book were my dad." Mm. And to this day, to even tell that story just hits me. And so I think it's the authenticity of the book and the time period in which I wrote it that comes about. So yeah, it was very powerful, and to this day, I still get those responses of that book. Yeah,
it's a love letter, and it's guidance, and it's just it's so much, and it's just so enjoyable. It is a page turner. Why don't you just read a passage for us?
Yeah, this is that fun passage from your Pappy's Love of Books and All Appearances of the Mother Tongue, and so he writes, "Why read? Because books are precious guides to our humanity, civilization's backbone, that tenuous ridgeline that allows us to climb above the jungle and see what the horizon has to offer. Thus, they represent the yearning to go beyond, to explore. Yet, they are also human-sized and made of paper and ink, and thus, they come from the earth. Their physicality is what makes them immensely human, and they contain the flesh and bone thoughts of one person capturing one blink of time, now made immortal. The bound pages carried by your own hands and touched by your own eyes."
Mm. Wow. To have, to instill in a child the love of reading is incredible. We're losing that.
Yeah.
We're absolutely losing it. Cutter, have you read the book?
Oh, are you kidding me? Way too many times.
You enjoy it?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I get the whole spiritual guidance thing from the book and the man himself when I need it. So
yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and so is it one of those things like a movie, you watch it 2, 3, 4 times and you're picking up something new every time?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Every time there's something just slightly different that's now really applying to me and where I'm at in life, and it always is like always a real applicator, and it helps in pretty much everything.
And that's one of the things I like about it, is that you don't have to sit down and start at page one and just go through. Sometimes I pick it up and I just read a couple pages and I just really enjoy it, and it's just kind of a reminder of what my role as a dad is, and the going forward, generations to come. Wonderful words.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. And I'll tell you, there was a great quote that this fellow came up with. He calls it a nightstand essential. and I love that particular quote. And to this day, it feels like that, because, again, you can just dive into any part of the book, mm-hmm. should you need to. You don't have to read it from beginning to end. And the next portion of the Legacy Letters is coming out. It's finished and ready to go. It's the complete letters, all 200 letters.
Oh, wow.
So here we are just getting a taste, an appetizer to it.
Well, that nightstand essential is really interesting, because we have a big bookcase out in, in the loft. In our bedroom, we have a smaller one, and then we have the nightstand. And so you know where you rate as a book. I have 2 on the nightstand right now. And so just love doing that. So, thank you. The Legacy Letters, it's available. You just can't not miss it on the internet.
Here, there, everywhere.
and I love the crazy stuff you did. I'll call it crazy. Yep. Afterward, to basically market the book. Yeah. And as every author I have met has said, writing the book's the easy part, marketing it is the tough part. Yeah. And you did everything from going to Cuba to a glacier to hot air balloon to what possessed you to do this?
Yeah, a couple others. Yeah, what was river rafting. We did the first ever modern day book tour on Amtrak from Orlando. hasn't been done since Mark Twain. So we went from Orlando all the way up to Niagara Falls. Cutter was actually on that, mm-hmm. passing out books, and we do book signings right on the spot.
Great.
In Amtrak. So no, someone asked me that once. Why are you doing this? And I says, well, if the purpose of the book is about to tell people how to live life to the fullest. And I said, you know what? I got to walk my talk. I got to get out there and do these things. Mm-hmm. We did a book signing on Mount St. Helens,
yes.
the volcano, and actually did a radio show on there simultaneously. We got a signal. It was remarkable. And it really comes true. People say, well, okay, I get it. Let me read this book because I want to read about this mm-hmm. guy that does these things and walks his talk. So and people say, well, what's your next foray or adventure? And I said, well, you have to read the book and find out.
There we go.
A teaser.
Well, the last two summers, I have paid my two grandsons a princely sum each if they read at least 10 books in the summer. And mom gets to decide because she's a teacher and she knows grade level, and if they're going to try to get away with second grade stuff when they're in fifth, and they say that's not happening, no comic books, and then they have to tell me about them, and so just to make sure that they're actually comprehending, and it's gone well, and I'm glad, and I just hope that something just clicks in them, and you know, you put down the phone for a little bit, and just enjoy good writing.
Yeah,
it's just beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
So I still have a habit every year. I read Hemingway's Old Man and the Sea, and it's a very short book.
Yeah.
And people, there's just passages in there that just blow me away.
That's so funny you say that, yeah. because probably every 2 to 3 years, I read For Whom the Bell Tolls,
mm-hmm.
and I cannot believe that I'm reading
sure.
a new book.
Yep.
Yeah, it's remarkable, and yeah,
good stuff.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm trying to push through Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis right now, and this man put... you know, packed a wallop in every sentence, and you just have to stop. It's like a page or two, and you just have to stop because it's like, okay, my mind's about to blow up here. So, okay, so The Legacy Letters by Carew Papritz, you can find it online, and it's a worthwhile read. So hope everybody
gets to that.
We're going to just set up something here before we go into the break in a few minutes. But actually, you know what? We have 4 minutes left, so before our first break, so I'm gonna just throw this in right now. We run something in our newspaper. You know, you can just work away super hard on a story. It sometimes takes you weeks to do, and then it goes out there, and it'll never, ever be as popular as the police log. And, you know, you just have to accept that, you know, life is crazy, and people like to read about crazy sometimes. So we run this police log every week, and it's just a sentence or two about you know, police and sheriff's calls in our area. And I will tell you, one of the reasons we do it is because we want people to see what police officers go through day in, day out. You hear about the big stuff, but you don't hear about the little stuff and the silly stuff, quite honestly. So I'm going to read a couple of things here, and you most certainly can weigh in on them. But let me start out with this one. And some of it's just crazy. We always have to figure, okay, does this person have dementia? Because if they do, then we don't use it, because I'm not completely cruel. Okay, so a resident's been getting death threats online, called the sheriff's department after hearing loud banging on his front door. Before deputies arrived, he discovered his screen door wasn't closed and was banging against his house. This stuff happens all the time.
Yes.
This stuff happens all the time.
In our community,
It's the old never mind call. You have to call him back. Okay, so this is a resident who lives near Calle Ceja. I only mention the name of that street because you have these cool sounding names down there. Calle Ceja. Do you know what a ceja is? It's an eyebrow. It's an eyebrow. There's elbow, codo,
right.
Codo, yeah.
Right, codo.
And then there's all these things. And one of them is Mitla, which I believe is where people go to die. And it's just like, but it sounds cool in Spanish. You know, this is like the guy who gets the Japanese tattoo and it looks cool, but it actually says, I'm a dumb American, but he doesn't know that. You know? So anyway, so we're living in that down there, Calle Ceja. Okay, so this person calls the sheriff's department because two men with backpacks who weren't old enough to live in the community were walking in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
deputies, you know, see something, say something. Okay, but not always. Okay, right. So maybe this one could
have
been.
And I guess the thing is, you have to understand that you have to be 65 and older to
55
live.
55 and a lot of them.
Thank God.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yep.
Yeah, 55. That's inflation.
Plus. That's right. Yeah, it's going to go up. Everything else is. So this, okay, we'll give you one more and then a spoiler alert because we'll come back to these. Sarita Police investigating a report about an incorrigible juvenile found out a 5-year-old was having a meltdown about homework and an 11-year-old was recording the event. Okay. I have 5 brothers. This happened all the time, okay, except we would have to do it with those big old tape recorders, you know, and go, I'm gonna show mom this. Okay, officers determined it was best handled by the parents. Good call. Spoiler alert, this is not the only 5-year-old having a meltdown we're going to be talking about today, because we'll get to one here in a little bit as we continue with our police calls. Okay, we are one segment into our Friday Focus interview with author Karu Peppertz and his son Cutter. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Sokolo Village studio. Our lifeline is managed by, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill. I'm with Karu and Cutter Peppertz here on the Buckmaster Show, kicking around topics of the moment. And we're going to move to one that is freaking me out, even though we've known it's been around for a long time. And I knew it was going to go big, so I bought stock in NVIDIA. And man, I could retire. Not really. I should have bought more. But AI... And Karu, first of all, I want to look at AI, artificial intelligence, in terms of the film industry, because as you pointed out earlier, you worked in the film industry.
Yeah.
And you look at AI, and so we had fun once at work because, you know, for 3 minutes we weren't busy, and we said, okay, AI, write a story about Green Valley in a soap opera style and include these characters and blah, 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 blah. And we want it to be 15 pages long. If this took 7 seconds to do, and here's some of the plot.
Yeah.
You feed it stuff, and then it pops it out. Much like term papers, I'm sure, in College Cutter.
Oh, yeah.
Which you would never do.
No, of course not.
You don't learn anything.
Yeah.
That was conviction you heard in his voice, but but it wasn't very convicting. Anyway, we should convict him. Okay, anyway, so this stuff can just do anything. And now, if you were to pop in a few ideas, and you're a script writer, it can do it, and probably better than you would do it.
Yee, watch, that was a long protracted yee.
Oh, was there a question in there?
Yeah,
I don't know,
yeah.
But.
No, the question, so part of the problem that's interesting, is, let's start with screenplays, and I think that's one of the most important, because that's the foundational part of the whole game is writing a screenplay so you can make a movie. So they've had this thing now for years is being able to write and use your screenplay software, and then it'll come up with different scenes and whatnot. The problem with this, or it, literally within the breakdown of particular screenplays, in particular parts of the screenplays, it'll say, well, now do you want to go left or right? Do you want to have the actor do this, or do you want to have the protagonist do this? And you keep going and variations and variations and variations of themes. So after a while, what you get is fantastic sameness.
Yes, yes.
It's like, wow, this is brilliant, because it's all feeling like the same thing.
Yes.
Which is really something. And you know, there's a, so you do get that. You know, I'm literally helping a good friend of mine who's a screenplay writer. He works under Francis Ford Coppola, which many of you guys know, has directed The Godfather, amongst other films. And he's a brilliant, but quirky screenwriter. And his stuff would never in a million years be thought of as AI generated. But what's fascinating is you can't get that quote unquote authenticity from an AI. You can get remnants of it. You can get some of it out there, but to have, this would be great for writing TV shows that are on.
Like formulaic type stuff,
gosh,
and generic.
Right down the line.
Right. And this is, there are great uses for AI. We have already, we'll plug in a whole story that we've done and said, okay, give us some ideas for follow-up stories. What would you do? And it has some pretty good ideas. Give me a 5-word headline for this story, and you plug it in, and it can do pretty well also. But we now in the industry, in my industry, are talking about how much disclosure do you have to give when you use AI, and now it's going over into images, and it has been there for a while, but we're just waking up to it. And we had something happen this week at work that kind of freaked me out, and it was that you have a still photo, and I had seen this online before, but when you see your own work being transformed like this, still photo of a guy getting tackled at a football game, and you throw it into Gemini or whomever, and suddenly it plays out, you know, the rest of the play. They fall to the ground, they roll, someone walks by, the crowd is cheering. It's a video, and it's these people who are in that still photo. There was no video shot, but it creates its own. So now, as we as journalists are looking at this, and I'm saying, well, wait a minute, now you're going to take make-believe, you know, fiction, and then mix it with news, and then you think you're going to gain the trust of your audience that way? Wait a minute. I mean, we already get screamed at enough on, you know, about fake news. Yeah. This would be fake news. That didn't happen. And so we've got to figure out as an industry what to do with these very powerful tools that can be useful in some respects, but also can be greatly abused. And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, reporters won't have to write anymore. You won't need reporters. Well, reporters do a whole lot more than writing. I mean, it's that establishing relationships, people whisper in your ear, you get great great stories and stuff, and there's a whole lot more to the job than just the writing part. But it's presenting an awful lot of ethical questions these days. So now back to movies, which CGI everything.
Yeah.
And you can tell even now what's been CGI'd.
You can.
Yes.
You can. There's a great movie called, I think it's called The Big Trail. From the, I was John Wayne in the 1934, 35. It is phenomenal because what do they have? They've got 100 Conestoga wagons. This is people coming over from, you know, over to the, on the Oregon Trail. They've got 20,000 head of cattle. They're literally, I mean, and they've got hundreds and hundreds of Indians. And it's like, whoa, this is real. This wasn't CGI'd. And you can feel the reality, the authenticity of it.
Right.
And you can feel the authenticity not of CGI.
Yes.
Even, and you're, and now we're smart, and we're smart enough to know, oh, that was CGI. And so that's cool. I like that. But wow, what if that was the Big Trail? What if that was that?
Yes.
And you would be impressed by that. Oh, I'm sorry. Impressed by reality? Yeah, that's exactly it.
Exactly. So, Cutter, what I'm afraid is that your generation is going to accept something that's less than real. And you know what? In movie making, where it's all make-believe anyway, I guess maybe it's okay. When you step out of that, I'm a little nervous about it. I would bet that the bulk of what you're looking at, or an awful lot of what you're looking at on, you know, YouTube or, you know, whatever, Instagram, whatever, has some element of AI in it.
To a degree, yeah. It all, honestly, since algorithms on all these platforms are so advanced, it really depends if you are getting involved in the AI scene. If you are, you will end up seeing more AI on, you know, Instagram, YouTube, and all that. But if you see it every once in a while, it's pretty easy to just pick out and be like, okay, that's AI. And yeah, you know, sometimes it's something funny, maybe it enhances a photo or something like that. But I feel like my generation is pretty quick to snuff it out and be like, that's obviously fake and not real. But, you know, there's times where something will be pretty darn close to what could be reality, and it's a little scary, and I'll agree with that for sure.
Have you ever been fooled?
No, I haven't. But there have been times where it's been like, I thought for a second, and then it was like, okay, wow, that, if it was maybe 10% better, I would have been, mm-hmm. I would have been fooled without doing a deeper check.
And it will be.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And that's kind of the scary thing. And I guess when you now start putting words into people's mouths, and you can have, you know, and we've already seen it with Obama and Biden and Trump, that you know, they're saying things that they never said, but it really looks like it. And they can just take a few words of your voice and then create an entire vocabulary with your voice.
Yeah.
So this is some scary stuff going on. But again, we as in journalism are trying to figure out, you know, because there are some things that it can really help on, frankly, like an ad campaign or something like that. There's some great tools out there. You just got to figure out what people will tolerate.
Well, here's a fascinating thing. The Authors Guild has now come up with this imprimatur that says, and they've literally just started this last year. It says non-AI written.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you actually can have it on your book. This was written by hand. This was didn't have any assist whatsoever. And the fact that we actually have to say that, or non-AI assisted, is, oh, I mean, it's wonderful, but I'm a little bit like, God, are you kidding me?
And then isn't it damning to those who don't have that on there? Right. Because are we supposed to now assume that the others are? Because, of course, they probably aren't, but you never know that.
Right.
But that's something else.
Yeah.
And, you know.
National Geographic. This is great. And they still hold by this. Not only is it non-AI, they couldn't airbrush anything, because otherwise you would never, ever be able to have a photo in National Geographic again. So from that standpoint, they hold true to who they are. You can't do any of that. So that's an interesting.
Well, holding that line, I think, is important, because once, you know, it is a slippery slope, once you give in one point, you might give in another, and then next thing you know, it's okay to do this.
Yeah.
And this is what I hope this next generation does not stand for. It's just like, no. We have this rule in newspaper photography, the reader sees what you saw. and I'll tell you this, when I first started years ago, somebody brought me a photo and said, hey, I went out and shot that event for you. But this kid standing in the photo, there was a flag behind him. So he had a flagpole coming out of the back of his head, but I removed it. And I said, you did? How'd you do that? Well, Photoshop and this and that. And it's really easy. And I said, yeah, put it back. What you saw, the reader will see. And we don't mess with it. And I have seen a newspaper photographer, not down here, but one I worked with for years, fired on the spot for, took a photo of a desk and there was an electrical cord kind of running along the wall. And he thought, you know, that's kind of distracting. And I suppose it was. And he removed it and fired on the spot, no questions asked. You don't do that. You lose all credibility with your readers if they find it out. And so you just have to be careful with it. Now we have these much, much, much more powerful tools, and I'm curious to see how this all plays out.
Well, here's a wild thing that I discovered about ChatGPT and all these other AI platforms, is that the scientists that are dealing with this, there's actually this AI problem of when you put out false information or whatever it be, AI learns from it.
Yes,
and then guess what it does? It says that's the normative. That is what is now the normal. And the only way that they, and it starts to become, that's the norm. And then the next iteration, the next time they do it, that's more the norm. The only way they can get rid of it now, and there's one way to do it. You actually have to go back to the original copy of AI. They don't have a way to be able to do it. So, and can I say this too?
Sure.
With students, so here's a problem with students, because now you have teachers going in and saying, I'm going to take the papers, and you can tell me about this, Cutter. I'm going to take those papers and grade it with AI. And what's happening is that they will have a student go in and actually write a paper right in front of them, and that student will get graded, and they'll say, no, you did it on AI.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting false positives.
Yes.
And then how do you defend against that?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So much going on. Okay,
yep.
I am Dan Scheer sitting in for Bill. I'm with Carew and Cutter Papritz, kicking around some topics of the moment. As we said, we'll be right back with them, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village Studio. See you in a little bit.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are heading into our third segment with Cutter Pepperitz and his dad, Carew. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, who's been on vacation on the Central California coast all week and enjoying himself very much. We're going to continue our discussion here of AI right after I introduce you to that second incorrigible five-year-old who I had mentioned from our police reports. Okay, so let me see. Sarita officers were asked to check on the welfare of a five-year-old child who was screaming and acting out. Officers learned the child was upset at over not receiving a cell phone. The officers, once again, let parents handle the issue. Bring spanking back. Okay, can I just leave it right there? Bring spanking back. It worked for us.
That's diversity. That's what I call
it. Yeah, we called those wake-up calls. And the kids all turned out just fine. So, yeah, we were just sharing some of these police log items that come in. And sometimes you can just see that silliness that officers have to deal with and just different kind of personalities and people. They had one woman who called, I think it was in the reports this week, and saying, gosh, I got a problem in my kitchen. And he helped her discover that she had a plumbing issue and gave her a list of plumbers and said, you know, you go for it. In Green Valley, as we know, a lot of the people are from other places, so they don't have their children nearby. And so they're kind of winging it on their own. And so they need that extra help sometime. So I'm gonna throw one more at you that I just shouldn't. Not in our county, not in our area at all. So this man calls the sheriff's department to make a report of defamation of character. And he apparently had intimate relations with a woman in town, and now rumors were circulating about the status of his health. And he insisted that his STD tests be posted publicly by local media to prove that he was okay and dateable, apparently. They suggested that he should contact local media himself and try to get that done. No word on whether he was successful. So this is the crazy stuff that comes in. So our men and women, police officers and deputies, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate what they do. And it's a lot loonier than you would ever think. And as I've said before, two of my brothers are retired police officers, spent a lot of time in the business, and they've got their own stories, and I love hearing them. So.
And do you realize that actually can't be generated on AI?
No.
By no stretch of the imagination, that would maybe...
Isn't that
system.
True?
Yeah, right.
Really, real life is much goofier than anything AI could come up with. It's just getting people to share their stories, and I've heard some great stories that people just simply were not willing to share. One more we'll throw at you. A resident called the sheriff's department to report a bunch of people were screaming near such and such roads. Deputy showed up, found a children's birthday party was taking place. Can you imagine the cop showing up to that? Probably one of the five-year-olds. He probably was incorrigible and throwing things. But anyway.
You couldn't. You can't. As they say, you couldn't write that.
Mm-mm.
And there it is.
No. There it is. But yeah. And people love that stuff. So God bless our deputies and officers. So to continue on this theme of AI, because it is so ubiquitous, and if you haven't been touched by it, you have been. You just don't know it. And so, Cutter, we're going to head back to you. You show up at NAU. Let's just take you back a year to your freshman year there. And what do they say about AI?
Well, NAU didn't, at the time, have a huge policy for it. It was very teacher-dependent last year. It was just every teacher kind of decided how you would use it, when you would be allowed to use it, and if you can, even if you could or not. But this year, NAU has come out with a school-wide policy on how to use it, how it's appropriately used, and how teachers are allowed to appropriately use it as well.
And that's interesting because just in the span of a year, you go from basically a university doesn't have a policy to now they do have one in place. And I think this is how lightning fast this whole thing is moving. So roughly, what's the policy?
The policy is just really—
Do your own work?
Yeah.
Hey,
pretty,
it's
for
novel.
The most part, you know? It's a lot of just don't cheat using AI, and if you get caught, you get in way more trouble than you normally would. It's a lot of just be respectful, do your work the way you should be doing it, and be a good student.
But is it beyond plagiarism? What are the, like, will you get tossed out on your
right?
Yeah,
really just depends on the teacher for the most part. The school allows the teachers to choose, and if a teacher will catch you, I've had teachers. I don't cheat using AI. Or I don't cheat in general, by the way. This is
just
out there. But
thank you, doctor.
Each teacher has a different policy. One of my teachers last year was like, "You pretty much have free reign. Just don't cheat on exams with AI," which I thought was honestly a little too much free reign. But
wow,
that was crazy. Wow. And then I had another teacher last year who said, if you use AI at all in my class, you are getting kicked out with an F in the class and you're getting sent to the dean. So each teacher has a completely different principle on how they do it. It's just now the school says you have to just be a lot more careful on how you use it.
Well, I feel like I've watched you grow up. So I've noticed that you hang out with kids who are probably a cut above. I'm just going to say that and let it hang. And do you know people either attending college with you or your friends in other places who use it and they shouldn't be?
And they shouldn't be?
Violating the policy.
I don't know any of my close friends or friends that do use it and violate the policy, but I do know that it is pretty rampant in the amount of people that do use it and break the policy. It's not hard to break the policy and not get caught.
Okay. That's interesting. And then you wonder what next year will bring because everything's going to be much more advanced.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And you know, there actually, I was joking earlier about, you know, you one day becoming a doctor, but there has been talk that you could get all the way through med school with AI being your primary teacher, which means you don't know much.
Yeah.
And that's scary. So same with attorneys and other people who we rely on to be a whole lot smarter than us and know the answers.
Because in effect, it's at a certain point what AI doesn't do, and we look at it as it can do, is be wise and have years of experience. And experience teaches you that, you know, this is my gut feeling on this. Well, this is my gut feeling. I mean, it's extraordinary what it can do. But at a certain point where I want the guy that's going to give me that feeling of, well, maybe we do have some options here there, or
right.
or can interpret what AI is saying in a way that no one else can. Yeah.
Or flip it around. We were talking about screenwriters and others in the film industry possibly being out of a job. Could lawyers be out of a job? I'm going to go talk to a robot and say, this is exactly what I need, and it's going to AI generate something that I need, and I'm done. I would never do that. I can't even conceive of doing that.
No, but the pricing would be much different, and I would hope that I could get
a better deal on
it. Get a better deal
on your next personal injury case. Okay. I guess that's it. I did talk to some professors recently, and again, they were out of state, and they were kind of doing what you were just discussing, Cutter. You allow it. AI is not this thing that should be thrown in the dustbin because it does have great value to us. And so they do allow a portion of it in class and because it'll always be around and it could be helpful and might as well learn how to use it. But to do your assignments and stuff, that's a no-go.
So, yeah, absolutely. It all depends on how you use it. If you use it smart and you use it appropriately, it's only beneficial, especially for you in the long run. I mean, school's all about learning, and if you use AI to help you learn, it's extremely useful. I mean, I do that. It'll help me come up with my chemistry questions and different ways of solving certain things or different ways to write medical papers. But then you also have the other people who just use it to straight out cheat and just get it done with.
Right.
So it's a double-edged sword.
The state Supreme Court, I believe it's them, has two AI people who look real, real, real. And they will sit there and you click the button and they will discuss cases going through the state Supreme Court. And it's very interesting. These people don't exist, but they look like they do. And after a while, you kind of get used to them and then you cry because they're not real.
You get used to them.
Yeah.
And that's the normalizing of all these events that don't exist. I mean, the information exists, but the information is such that I don't know if that information is, you know, false again. Again, we're building in falseness. Right.
And we've already had a case where somebody killed themselves because he was going back and forth with AI and AI was giving him ideas on how to kill himself.
Sadly,
but there were questions back and forth and a conversation and information that would indicate that this person was treating AI like a human.
Yeah.
But AI wasn't responding like a human.
Guess where we find that also? In affairs of the heart. We're actually like, oh, wait a second. I really like this person because they're responding to me in the way that...
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, that is romantic.
You know, I always said the next thing is that we're going to be allowed to marry our pets, but maybe it's going to be that AI avatar
Thank you. We've been released.
You know, good grief. So it's incredible technology. It's going to have some wonderful uses, and we already see it in some ways, but it's also going to be very dangerous. So coming at you soon. Okay. And like I said, it's already here. Come on, who are we fooling? So, okay. And one last thing, I heard something on the radio yesterday that now places will start having you be interviewed for your initial job employment interviews. Your initial one would be by AI. So you're going back and this robotic figure or whatever is interviewing you, or maybe they have it looking like a human or whatever. It's no go. I would... I just wouldn't continue with a company that would do that. And I know it's a weeding out process and everything, but sorry, I'm just not going to pretend that fake thing is real. So doggone it, you got to put your foot down sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to thank Karu Pepper. It's always interesting, sometimes a little scary. You never know what you're going to say. glad you're
I'm
here.
I'm not the one who talked about spanking. So
bring spanking back, I'm telling you. Oh, man, make America pain again. Feel the pain. Okay. Thanks to you, Cutter, also. Enjoy your long weekend home from college.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, great to see you. We are going to be right back with Weekend Watch to help you plan your long Labor Day weekend. Don't forget, our live line is made possible by the pros over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations, they receive no government funding.
please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun, covering your hometown.
Welcome back. It's time for Weekend Watch, a great way to plan your next few days, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Find out more about what to do and where to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. Beautiful place over there. Now we're going to get our weekend roadmap, and it's got to be a little bit more because we're facing a three-day Labor Day weekend here. Our crew over at 101.7 The Drive helps us out this time of week. Welcome, Ken Carr.
First of all, I have to say, Tom Fairbanks, we're going to miss you.
Absolutely.
We love you, man. He's leaving us after 17 years, is that right? Oh, he's holding up fingers. That's not 17 fingers.
That's a little bit less. It's 10.
Okay.
Which is a good ride, and Tom really is going to be missed. And we talked a little bit about it earlier in the show that he is just kind of this calm amidst the storm for people like me who are just, this isn't my day job, okay?
Yeah.
And you can tell sometimes, but Tom makes us look a lot better than we should. So
we love you, Tom. All right. He's awesome. He's moved to Dallas, so I'm sure he's going to be next door to South Fork and J.R. Ewing and all.
You're
that.
Dating yourself.
Yes,
big,
I am.
Big time. Who shot him?
All right. Okay. This weekend, let's get into that. Tonight, if you've got kids, grandkids, you might want to take them to Yo Gabba Gabba Live. Yo Gabba Gabba is that kind of children's, I don't know, themed. They did videos and stuff. They still do, I think. Party in My Tummy, So Yummy, So Yummy is their big song. Anyway, they're at the Linda Ronstadt Music Hall tonight at 6 o'clock. Yes, I looked it up. I don't have children.
Is
don't
that
you? You're looking at me like I'm a crazy
is
person.
Is that this generation's version of Barney?
Kind of.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah, I lived through it once. That was enough.
Asked one of our coworkers in the office, they knew she's got a 6-year-old. I was like, do they know Yo Gabba Gabba? Nope, into Mega Man. So I'm already past that. Other things this weekend, there's a cat video fest that's happening at the Loft Cinema. That's Sunday, 2 o'clock, and a perfectly hilarious collection of cat videos. About 100 of them you can see on the big screen. So make sure you start thinking about that right meow as to whether you want to go.
And I think they did this a couple of weeks ago. A couple of my friends went. Absolutely loved it. It's a great way to disconnect from life for a bit. And they loved it.
And the benefits, Hermitage No-Kill Cat Shelter in the Sanctuary and Friends of PAC. So again, that's Sunday at 2. Tucson Comic Con. A lot of people have been looking forward to this.
Oh, yeah.
Kicks off through this weekend. And one of the things that's fun about this is if you haven't been to a Comic Con, start thinking about getting dressed up. You don't have to, but a lot of people wear costumes to pay tribute to their favorite fictional characters. And there's gaming, cosplay, interactive experiences, celebrity sightings. Eric Estrada is one of the celebrities.
Where did they dig him up?
Well, what do you mean?
Literally. I mean, when Eric Estrada passes on, you're going to say, didn't he die 10 years ago?
Oh, no.
Are we live? Okay. So anyway, that was a great show.
You know what? When Chip's reruns still come up on TV, I watch. It's still a fun watch.
Eric's a medium. Order him a small. That
uniform like that. Was
always. They just had to is it a man wearing a girdle or what?
So, oh my gosh!
Okay, right. I've said too much. Go ahead.
Salsa, tequila, and taco challenge is coming up Sunday, 6 o'clock at El Conquistador Tucson Resort on Oracle. in Oro Valley, and it's Tucson's top mixologists and chefs presenting their drink and culinary creations to compete for awards, including Best Salsa, Best Tequila Cocktail, Best Taco, and there's live music, Lucha Libre Wrestling.
Lucha Libre.
And cocktail and food tastings, and it's a 21 and over event. So plenty to do this weekend. There's also a summer night market at the Mercado San Agustin Annex. That's tonight at 6 o'clock. Over 65 vendors. So excellent. Plenty to do this weekend in Tucson.
Thank you, Ken Carr. As always, we really appreciate it. And I have appreciated Bill turning the reins over this week. The Buckmaster Radio Program is presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to Buckmaster Assistant Rosemary Brandt, producer-engineer John Couch, and Tom Fairbanks for the last time. You're awesome. And the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson.